It is time now for the September edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. WPR's director, Mike Crane, usually joins us on the first Monday of each month, but because the first Monday in September was Labor Day, and we always have our traditional Labor Day show at that time, Mike is here on the second Monday of the month. He has some news to share with us on new personnel at WPR, some new initiatives, some news on budgets, some special programming you will hear this month and this fall. And as always, we are looking forward to your questions and feedback. Back at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he joins us in our studios in Madison. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we have lots of news to share, lots of new personnel at Wisconsin Public Radio. We introduced a new host of Simply Folk recently, Dan Robinson. Tell us a little bit about Dan and that change.
Yeah, and I should mention that some people were concerned that it meant that Stephanie was going away. Well, she continues to host our morning classics, and behind the scenes, she is helping out with Simply Folk as well. But Dan's really a neat guy. He has extensive knowledge of multiple folk genres. His son is a professional bluegrass musician with Monroe Crossing out of the Twin Cities. And Dan is also a musician as well. And he's been attending folk festivals on behalf of Simply Folk and getting a nice warm welcome already.
Yeah, and we had a number of listener comments, nice listener comments like this one. Thank you to WPR and Dan Robinson, whose new format is very enjoyable. I love his selection of music. Keep up the good work. Congrats on the smooth transition. And as you mentioned, though, Stephanie Elkins is still with Wisconsin Public Radio and hosting classical music, right,
yeah,
Mike?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk about another new person who is working at Wisconsin Public Radio. After a nationwide search, WPR has hired Brady Carlson to be our next All Things Considered host. His first official day on the job was September 6th.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about Brady.
Brady will be heard on the air pretty much right away. He's really eager to get going, but he has a little training that he's been doing with us. And he comes from New Hampshire Public Radio, where he was a Weekend Edition host and also a reporter. He's covered business, technology, food, culture, and, of course, presidential politics. And, in fact, he's written a book. It's called Dead Presidents, and it was published this year by W.W. Norton and Company.
I should have him on the air as a guest, huh?
Maybe so.
Kate Archer-Kent, who is fairly new at Wisconsin Public Radio, will fill in for Brady on All Things Considered. And you will also hear her filling in on Morning Edition and soon, maybe right here on Ideas Network
right.
talk shows, including this one.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we're finding that people are coming with more and more kind of skills across the different stations and so on. And that's also in Brady's background. Of course, on the flip side, being a newscaster was very much in your background.
That's true.
Joy.
I was a Morning Edition host before I was a talk show host.
And so it's really great when people, as they often do, come to Wisconsin Public Radio already skilled in many areas. And sometimes they gain the skills while they're here. But either way, it's pretty cool.
So there are some new voices that you will be hearing on Wisconsin Public Radio or have been hearing already. And we are welcoming any reactions to programming or operations at Wisconsin Public Radio for Mike Crane, who is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, let's talk about election-related coverage. We have a lot of that in the works, including, of course, the fall election is Tuesday, November 8th. What are our plans for Election Day?
Well, we have live broadcasting. We're going to have the material that NPR shares from all around the country, but we're also going to be covering the races here in Wisconsin, including the Assembly and Senate and our own U.S. Senate race. That'll all be covered in the midst of the NPR coverage, just like you hear if you're listening to Morning Edition or All Things Considered and you hear WPR mixed in there. It'll be the same style.
Yeah. And certainly lots of special coverage coming up. We will be covering the upcoming debates, the first of which is the end of this month.
Monday, September 26th, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah. That's Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and we'll carry all the NPR coverage of the three presidential debates and the one vice presidential debate.
And certainly I'm familiar with the fact that we will be doing candidate interviews. This will be in October. We will start doing candidate interviews on the Joy Cardine Show and on Central Time. What's our policy when it comes to candidate interviews, Mike?
Well, this goes back, believe it or not, to the 1930s, that we have been inviting candidates from all of the parties that are contesting for those statewide offices. And so we're going to continue that tradition. We find that our listeners really appreciate hearing from the so-called third-party candidates and as well as from the major party candidates.
Yes, I know that invites will be going out to the presidential candidates on the ballot, and mostly Central Time is going to be trying to handle those. And we will be doing a lot of the congressional candidates on the Joy Cardine Show and some of the most significant state legislative races. We can't do every single state legislative race. We would run out of hours in a day.
Yeah.
To do that, but we will be doing a number of key state legislative races, including key state Senate races, including the 32nd district between Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling. She is a Democratic state senator and the Senate Minority Leader, and she is being challenged by the former Republican senator from that district, Dan Kopanky. So there's sort of a rematch of sorts. She defeated him in a recall election, if I'm not mistaken, and now he's going back after his seat. So we'll be doing some of those state legislative races as well. We also have the Wisconsin Vote Tour in the works. Planning is underway for this Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television joint production. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so, well, I know for one thing, we'll get to hear you from a couple of cities mm-hmm. around the state, so that it's, as we once called your trip around the state, the joyride.
The joyride, yes.
So we'll hear you from around the state, and we'll have people invited to be in the audience with us at those times. And there will be here and now broadcasts that will be prepared on the road, and a bunch of different things that'll make sure that we're hearing from all around the state about this very important election.
Yeah, we are still working out the specific final details, but in general, we are heading to Wausau, to La Crosse, and Green Bay, and we will be broadcasting live on location from all of those communities on Fridays. Leading up to the election, it would be the very end of October, the last couple of weeks, Fridays in October, and I believe one Friday in November.
Yep.
Again, we're going to be working out the specific venues and guests and that sort of thing. But I'm looking forward to it. I think this is it's nice to get out and about around the state. We'll do some programming about regional issues of statewide significance in the various regions, as well as doing, for example, our Week in Review. We'll have regional guests in person for the Week in Review.
And speaking of regions, in some cases our regional offices will be having live or recorded broadcasts with candidates that are specific to their region. So listen for those as well.
Yeah. This is Mondays with Mike, the September edition of Mondays with Mike. And we do have an open line for you. If you have a question about programming or operations or fundraising or special events, or if you have a reaction to any of those things, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Here's another comment from our listener log. Someone says, I am a regular listener, and I've come to notice that every political news report you put out leads with Donald Trump. You never start a news report or brief with what Hillary Clinton's campaign is doing. You also never mention anything about Jill Stein or Gary Johnson, whom will also be on the ballot this fall in Wisconsin. It appears as though NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio favor Donald Trump. Goes on to say, I find your style of reporting biased and sexist and not balanced. I am extremely disappointed. What's your response to this listener, Mike?
Well, I mean, I know that people perceive different things, that WPR is too liberal, too conservative, different sides of things. And I just honestly think that to some degree, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone, we listen with our own filters. And so we may not notice everything in the same way as another person would. And also, and this is just an honest challenge of listening to the radio, which is that that person may listen when they hear Donald Trump mentioned first, and it may be the very next newscast an hour away where Hillary Clinton is mentioned first, but maybe they didn't catch that. And so there's a very strong effort that, you know, it really is something that we try to, throughout public radio, be as balanced as we can as to the coverage. That, you know, we're seeking the truth wherever it goes, and that means that we really wouldn't want to bias one or another side so much as to discover where the truth is.
Yeah, I will mention again, and I appreciate the listener comment. We will be inviting Jill Stein, Gary Johnson, and other presidential candidates to be on the air on Wisconsin Public Radio. I will note that On Point, which is heard after this program, had Jill Stein and Gary Johnson on for full hours each. So that's not Wisconsin. It is on Wisconsin Public Radio, so you, if as a Wisconsin Public Radio listener, could have access to them.
Jack Mitchell, one of my predecessors, has written a book called Wisconsin on the Air, Public Broadcasting in the State That Invented It, and that book is out right now. And he said something that I think is really apropos of what I was saying, perhaps less colorfully. He said, whether or not critics choose to believe it, both academics and public broadcasters strive to approach questions with open minds and produce answers that grow from verified facts. Both sometimes fall short, but no other institutions try harder. And I think that's true of us, that for a very long time we have been trying to get it right, and we always will, as it says in the Bible, you know, all have fallen short, but we do try.
We do try, and I did like that quote, and I am reading Jack's book right now. It's kind of strange to see myself mentioned in a book about the history of Wisconsin public.
It's like, wait, I'm not history yet, right?
I'm a veteran, as they say. Anyway, we are talking about Wisconsin Public Radio, and you can talk about Wisconsin Public Radio too. What do you? What's your favorite show on Wisconsin Public Radio? What's your thought about fundraising? What special events would you like to see Wisconsin Public Radio involved in? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine with WPR Director Mike Crane, and this is the September edition of Mondays with Mike here on the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, as we do once a month. It's the September edition of Mondays with Mike. Mike is sharing some news with us about Wisconsin Public Radio, and he's answering your questions and responding to your feedback. And he would like to know, what do you think of the new Ideas Network Saturday morning or Saturday lineup? Some recent program changes there. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And let me take this opportunity to thank John Munson, who filled in for me while I was on vacation last week, and to thank my producers who kept the show on track. And John always says that my producers are the best, and they take good care of him when he's filling in. So thanks to my producers as well. I surprised John when I was on vacation, Mike. I was driving to Minnesota, and I decided to go through Superior, and I said, "Hey, John, guess what? I'm in Superior." So I went and I saw our newly renovated studio, Wisconsin Public Radio Studios in Superior, and got to say hi to John as he was filling in for me. And I didn't mean to rub it in, you know, I mean, but it was good to see him. And I did post, by the way, a photo of John Munson in his Packers jersey and myself at KUWS in Superior.
Now, of course, people on the radio, listening to the radio, don't know, but usually you encounter John in a full suit because he's actually quite the dresser. And so it was fun to see him kind of dressed down a little bit and in just the right colors, too.
That's right. That's right. He was doing a Packers Friday or something on that particular day. So anyway, that's posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And again, you can post a question or some feedback or anything you'd like regarding Wisconsin Public Radio on the Facebook page as well. Let's take some calls. We have John in Casco. I'm sorry, it's Josh in Casco. Hi, Josh.
Hello. I like to see my favorite programs to stay on the air. So I was going to ask you, they're my favorites. And I don't want to see on the evenings would be Q, because I don't like that new host. Now, secondly, for young millennials, we're struggling to find work after college. So I would like to have Jobline to return on Wisconsin Public Radio. And finally, I listen to 88.1 Ideas Network, WHID Green Bay, every Saturday from 5 to 7, listening to the Hmong Radio program. And I got a message on the analysis of WPR.org that they are non-production anymore. Why?
And Josh, thanks very much. And because I was trying to write those all down, what was the very first thing you said you liked?
I like Says Who and Ask Me Another. They're good game shows.
Also, I get it. Yeah. Says You. Ask Me Another. Two shows. One that's been with us for a while, and one that's fairly new on Saturdays now.
Yeah, Says You has a different host, but it is around, and we actually added it. It was so successful on Sundays, we've added it to the Saturday schedule. And for us, at least, NPR's Ask Me Another is new, and it's great to hear that you like that, Josh. One of the things that we've been wondering about, and I've begun to hear a little bit about this, is Ask Me Another is really aimed at a younger public radio audience than some of our other programs, and so we've been wondering how that will do for our mainly older listeners, although we certainly have younger people like Josh listening, and so it's good to hear that report. I think we may see yet another new host for Q. It sounds like they're going to rejigger the program, so maybe that host and her or his topic choices will make that a more attractive show for you, Josh. Thanks for the comment about the job line. I know once in a while we do have kind of open discussion about jobs, and so we'll add that. And the story with the Hmong radio program on 88.1 is that the hosts, after a long time doing the show, notified us that they were ready to stop. And so we'll be talking with the Hmong community about what else might be something that they would find valuable from public radio. For people around the state who don't hear that program, and now no one will because it's off, it was in the Hmong language and so was considered a really valuable program by some people, but the host decided they didn't want to continue.
Thank you, Josh. Joanne in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Joanne.
Yeah, and thank you for taking this call. I miss Michael Feldman, something fierce. He was intelligent, he was funny, and I'm not happy with the replacement. That's the first thing. A second thing is I think the Daily Central time is repeated too quickly. I'm in my car and hear it. It must be around 4 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock, and I hear it again at 5 o'clock, the same program. And it's sort of a waste of air time. So,
all right.
My comment.
Thank you, Joanne. So,
thanks, Joanne.
What about Central Time is a two-hour live show that is repeated from 5 until 7. It's live from 3 until 5, and then from 5 until 7, it's a repeat.
That's right, and there are a couple of things going on there. There's no doubt, I know this for a fact, that the team really has the ambition to do even more than they're simply capable of. They're already running as fast as they can to do 2 hours. And so that's one of the reasons that we choose to repeat those 2 hours, although they do stay around so that if something needs to be updated because of a change in news, they definitely do that, and the newscasts are fresh, that sort of thing. This is actually a fairly common technique in public radio. The most common examples of that are Morning Edition and All Things Considered, which are created as two-hour-long programs, 2 hours, that is, and then what we call rolled over. So that means that at 4 o'clock Central Time, that's the first broadcast from 4 to 6, again 6 to 8, and then from 8 to 9, an additional hour on this particular station. And there is fresh material, but a lot of it is repeated. And the reason is that the average amount of listening people do, and of course our listeners are above average, but the average amount of listening people do at any one time is maybe in the 45-minute range. And so it's something that means that very heavy listeners like Joanne will hear more repeats than others will hear. That's the story of it. And if we get to the point where we could do another live hour of Central Time, I know the team would like to do that, but it would require an expansion of the team.
And here we had another now a listener who misses Michael Feldman and doesn't like it's the replacement, whereas
yeah.
Josh did like the replacement.
Exactly. And so we'll be monitoring that. And one thing that I think has changed, basically because we have better information, is that we're a little bit more willing to change our schedule than we once were. And the better information is that we're getting more data from listeners in the form of especially in Milwaukee and a little bit in the radio market surrounding the Twin Cities, we're getting information more quickly about what people are listening to or not listening to. That's helpful. And we also just get a lot of responses, not just these calls, but our audience services responses are helping us to evaluate programs and their success or lack of it in a faster way. So we'll be keeping a close ear and eye on the new Saturday and Sunday schedules as well.
Yeah. But in general, though, Mike, when a new program is put on the air, you usually give it more than a month.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the old habit was to give it at least a year. We'll see if we really need to do that anymore as we're getting information more quickly than we used to.
Yeah. I was listening to Wisconsin Public Radio a lot over this past week while I was in my car. I don't know if you heard, I mentioned earlier that something funny is going on with my radio. The only radio station that it receives is Wisconsin Public Radio, WHA in Madison. All of the rest, nothing.
Do they sell those?
Yeah, I know. They should. I was going to say, someone's telling me something here.
Yeah.
This is odd. It was so even when I was trying to push to a different preset just to see what was going on somewhere else, silence, nothing.
Huh.
And it won't turn on or off either. It just is WHA. So I'm going to just listen.
Just go with it, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I was listening to America's Test Kitchen on the weekend, and I heard Chris Kimball hosting it. I thought he was not going to be hosting that anymore.
Well, and that's actually correct. The story was that Chris parted from the television version a while ago, and he's going to be fading away from the radio version very soon. He's handing over the reins to the very able Bridget Lancaster, who's been a longtime expert both on the TV and radio show. And we'll hear Chris for a couple more weeks. But he's been working on a big new project that's called Milk Street, and that's both TV mm-hmm. and radio as well. And so Cheryl Gasser has let us know that she's going to give a listen to the new Milk Street Radio and see. But for the moment, we're certainly sticking with America's Test Kitchen, which seems to be very well received by our listeners.
And Chris Kimball's coming to Madison, and he's going to. He has a live stage show is it America's Test Kitchen or is
well,
it?
Well, it's Milk Street.
Milk Street, yeah.
And one of the things that sounds really fun about that show is that he's going to have a live taste test with the audience. And so he's going to have audience participation, food science, video footage. Chris was here in Wisconsin a year or so ago, and just his presentation was wonderful. So I think people will really enjoy it and will be there. And I'm sure public television is going to join us there as well. And you can get advice on cooking problems a little bit in a live audience setting. That's Wednesday, September 28th.
Sounds good. And Garrison Keillor is coming to Madison as well.
Yeah, he's. Everybody knows, I think, that he's retired from A Prairie Home Companion, but I don't think he's ever going to retire.
No.
You know, he's a writer, and he wants to share the writing, and he enjoys being on stage. So on Sunday, October 16th, in the afternoon, he will bring his one-man show to the Overture Center, and I'm sure a lot of people will be happy to still have the opportunity, even as Chris Teeley takes over on the live radio show. Garrison will be around.
Yeah, I'm very happy that I've seen Garrison Keillor at public radio conferences and the like, but it was very nice with our WPR trip to Alaska, the cruise to Alaska that I hosted with WPR listeners. Oh, my goodness, it was last year.
Yeah.
Time flies. Yeah, it does. And Garrison Keillor and A Prairie Home Companion was performing in Seattle, and we got to see that, so that was very nice.
And just one other I wanted to mention, the Capitol Steps were at the Pabst Theater just recently.
Okay.
And they're scheduled for the Overture Center in Madison, October 14th.
We are talking about special events for Wisconsin Public Radio, special programming, talking about programming and operations, welcoming your questions, welcoming your feedback for Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question or feedback for Mike, and Mike is especially interested in what you might think about the weekend schedule, the new weekend schedule. You can also send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's go to Susan in Milwaukee. Hi, Susan.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was calling. I love University of the Air. I don't always get to listen every week. But years ago, you ran a series on the history of Russia, and it was some professor from someplace, and it ran over a series of weeks. It seems to me on a weekend afternoon like that. And I'm thinking because of the current political situation in Russia and with its former republics and with the U.S. also, it might be interesting to revive that if it belongs to you. And I'm wondering if it's possible, and if you, I think you'd have listeners who would be interested in hearing this, because of course the present is always rooted in the past.
Yeah, thanks for the comment, Susan. I'm glad you like University of the Air. It's now a weekly one-hour program, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if that series that you heard on Russia was part of a more extensive University of the Air that we used to do. We also had the College of the Air, which was kind of its old name, and way back we also had the School of the Air, which was service for K-12, and that all kind of moved to television many years ago. Still is a very much a part of our heritage. We may well have recordings of that, but I think that historians today might tell us that they'd rather we do something fresh and new, simply because not only has more history occurred, but our views may have changed somewhat on how we evaluate that history based on more recent events. But I'm really glad that you enjoy University of the Air, and glad that you catch it when you can.
Let's go next to Susan in Milwaukee. Hi, Susan.
No, that was Susan.
Oh, I'm sorry. No,
there's
another Susan.
It must be another Susan.
Okay.
Yes, sir. This is Susan in Milwaukee as well.
Hi, Susan in Milwaukee as well.
Good morning. Thank you for taking our calls, especially for asking about the Saturday lineup. I turn the radio on Saturday morning. It stays on for the weekend, and it's why I became a sustaining member. I'm really happy about Ask Me Another. I love all of the quiz shows, and I'm really happy about the addition of Rick Steves in the afternoon. I'm not crazy about the money, just because we don't like to be reminded about money on the weekend. But what I'd like to know is why, in the name of Click and Clack, are we still playing Car Talk? And how long are we going to have to keep doing that?
Sure, that's a great question, and you won't be surprised you're not the first to ask it. We're playing the best of Car Talk just on Sundays now, and the reason is that it's still really popular with our listeners, maybe in the same way that revived broadcast on old-time radio drama seemed to be very popular. What I'm told from NPR and the Car Talk folks is that they're going to continue to create the best of Car Talk for about another year or so, and then they're going to retire the show. And what that, what's kind of behind that, they told us, is that they actually have a lot of fresh material, meaning things that hadn't been heard on the radio before, but that they're going to start running out of that. And the reason that happens is that Car Talk was actually a call-out program, not a call-in program. What that means is they recorded maybe an hour and a half or even 2 hours whenever they sat down to record, and some really great calls just didn't make it into the hour-long program. So that's why they're doing that, and for people that still can't get enough of Car Talk after it is retired from the radio, they're going to continue doing podcasts of the archive programs, but they'll go out of new production entirely at that point.
Michael on Facebook writes, would it be possible to add Writers Radio Theater to the Saturday or Sunday lineup instead of a repeat show?
It might be possible. I know Writers Radio has been out there for many years and just hadn't been something that rose to the top of our program director's choices. So we'll add that to the list of suggestions so that they can see your interest in that. Thanks, Michael.
If you have a suggestion or a question for Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, you can call 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is Mondays with Mike on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Do you have a question or a comment about WPR programming or operations? What do you think of our Saturday and Sunday lineup on the Ideas Network? What would you like to hear more or less of on Wisconsin Public Radio? And remember, Wisconsin Public Radio is more than the talk show that you're listening to right now. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We had a Facebook comment that that made me smile. It was someone who heard John Munson filling in for me last week. Didn't actually hear him live, but was listening to the podcast of the show on Star Trek, the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, and said that he was sorry he couldn't listen live, but was happy to find it online. So that's a nice service too.
Yeah, we're finding that podcasting, which is sort of not even the right word anymore. What we really should be calling it, more of a mouthful though, is on-demand listening, yep, meaning that you can listen to it when you want. That's becoming a big deal, and that's exciting for us because it means that more people are exposed to the great shows on public radio.
WPR's fall membership drive is coming up soon. It's going to start on Friday, September 30th through Saturday, October 8th. And this is an important, all of the pledge drives are important, but mm-hmm, the fall membership drive seems to be one
it's
of the
biggest
most,
one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's going on this time, Mike?
Well, I think we'll raise some money. And
yeah, no, why not?
Yeah, our theme is support your source for news, great music, talk, and you rely on it every day. So we'll be asking people to make sure that they make it financially possible. And you'll hear us say many times, listeners are our single largest source of income. And so it's very important. And people do ask, well, you know, do you need pledge drives now? And I'd say, yeah, sure. You know, one of the best ways to reach people who haven't yet supported is a pledge drive. And frequently people renew their support when they listen to a pledge drive, or even better, they become sustainers, which helps the pledge drives to be more efficient, because then we're just taking those new calls or one-time calls.
Any special thank you gifts for pledges?
Yeah, the WPR Day Pack is something that a lot of people will like.
That's What's a day pack?
It's like an outdoor adventure bag that you can carry lightweight stuff, and it actually stuffs itself into a pouch.
So, oh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool and versatile. And then we'll have really nice WPR pint glasses for pledges of $7 or more, and has WPR and NPR on it, so you can show your affiliation while drinking a bit. And yeah,
Oktoberfest.
Yes. Oh, I need a different accent then. But my background is Irish and German, but mostly Irish, and so I tend to go that way when I think of putting a beer in, you know. And and then you can ask for those items when you support in the fall membership drive.
Sounds good. You also are headed to NPR now for the annual, or did you go to NPR?
I went. Yeah, yeah. The note that you had copied there is from right before I left. And so I was at NPR last week for the NPR board meeting. The way the NPR board is run, it has a majority of station managers like myself chosen from among all of the station managers in the more than 200 NPR stations. And then what we call public members, which I'd actually think of as private members, but people from various industries that are also very supportive of public radio. And that's the governing board of NPR. And we got together, and a lot of our discussion was about what they call the NPR Station Compact. And that's sort of, maybe you know about the Mayflower Compact or the Great Lakes Compact. It's that set of arrangements and exchanges of money and agreements and so on that constitute NPR. And for in a way, it's kind of boring, right? You're just working out how the fees work and the legal arrangements. But what's really important about that conversation is that, to a degree that's really exciting to a lot of us, NPR as a network is recognizing how much they need, interact with, rely upon the stations to make it possible. When you count all of the journalists and talk show hosts at stations, plus all of the journalists and talk show hosts at NPR, you have probably the biggest newsroom. It's a virtual newsroom. It's the biggest newsroom in the world. Even maybe BBC is bigger because they're huge. But it's really an important group. And so those sets of agreements are actually very important for our future. While I was there, I also learned that for the second year in a row, and that's very good, maybe it's the third year, NPR had a balanced budget that was very challenging to achieve this year. Just as NPR relies upon station fees, stations rely upon listeners, the other pieces of the financial puzzle have proven to be very important for NPR and stations. That's philanthropy, so those sort of major gifts, and corporate and business support has also been important in helping NPR to do that. And a balanced budget indicates a level of health that is important.
Let's take some more calls, and you can join us, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. If you have a question or some feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio or National Public Radio for Mike Crane, who is WPR's director. Bob in Green Bay is with us. Hello, Bob.
Good morning. I just have a comment, kind of a follow-up to a previous caller about Michael Feldman and what do you know. I'm in my mid-50s. I think that show ran its course, and so I'm glad that you're switching up some of the programming in that regard. The other thing I guess I want to comment on is up here in Green Bay we have special programming Monday through Thursday from 10 to midnight, and I'm wondering if there's any plans to expand that. I'd kind of like to see it a little earlier, if we could start it at 9 o'clock instead of 10, you know.
This is like music programming that is heard in Green Bay that mm-hmm. is done by local hosts.
Yeah, we have a jazz show, blues show, and Galawiyose, and I'm sure I'm missing one. But
the Monday nights, it's At the Edge.
Oh, I yes, thank you. So that's something we've talked about. It's also well received right where it is, but it has been on our minds. Basically, the way that the NPR, or rather the WPR network, was built is it was built from stations, in many cases, that used to be independent in some way, and the Green Bay station was like that, and so these shows carried over from that and are a distinct part of the service in Green Bay. And I'm glad you enjoy it. No plans to expand it, but we'll talk about the question of whether it should be on earlier as well.
Thank you very much, Bob. Let's go to Rick in Ettrick next. Hello, Rick.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I really like your weekend lineup. I'm a farmer, and when I'm doing my chores in the barn Saturday night, I love Prairie Home Companion, even though the reruns, the cows and I really enjoy it. And then on Saturday mornings, People's Pharmacy, Dr. Zorba, and then Simply Folk on Sunday evenings. It just really rounds out the weekend and makes it enjoyable to do my work.
So your cows are listening along too, Rick?
Yes.
Cool.
So Rick, what do you think about Prairie Home Companion having a new host?
I don't know. I'll have to hear it, I guess. I love the reruns even.
Yep. You know,
even though they're old, but I still get a kick out of it. I can remember listening to them years ago.
Mm-hmm. And even the a repeat episode of Guy Noir can be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. And so we'll see. You know, Chris Teeley takes over in October, and he's going to have a new house band. And I'm sure as the new and, as it turns out, much younger host, he probably will have a little bit of a different mix of things that he does. But I'm glad to know you'll give it a chance. I think most of us will. I've actually marked it on my calendar to listen to his premiere. So I'm sure to tune in. And usually I have the radio on, but life happens too, so I'll try to make sure I'm there.
Yeah, Rick says he loves Zorba Pastor. We have a listener log comment, someone who says, I love having Rob Ferret as host of Zorba. Rob is funny and smart and a great partner for the doc. Nothing against Tom the curmudgeon. So Rob is doing a filling in for Tom at this point,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Tom has had a couple of health issues. He's getting much better, but last we checked in, he still had kind of a scratchy throat that they're trying to work out. And so he has every hope of being back very soon, and we do too. Meanwhile, I agree. I think Rob is a great sub for Tom, and I'm glad that some listeners think so.
Yeah, and Rob used to produce Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
That was one of the reasons he was selected, because yeah, they figure he really knows the show.
Yeah. Let's go next to Nancy in Grafton. Hi, Nancy.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
I don't know if you're ever going to have any classical music or polka music on the station, because I sure would appreciate that once in a while. And on the weekends, in between programming, I hear my grandson. I'm Dean Knetter, and I'm very happy to hear my grandson's voice.
Oh, Dean's grandma. Thanks
yes,
for calling.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he does a great job. And Dean Knetter is the weekend voice of the Ideas Network. And
yeah, you hear him between shows, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. And in the old days, they would have said about Dean, he has great pipes.
Yeah,
he
right.
just, he has that remarkably deep voice. And it's so nice of you to call in. And I'm sure we'll tell Dean that we heard, or you can tell him, too,
yeah.
that you called in.
What about polka music or something like that?
Probably not polka, unless it's a special about mm-hmm. it. I know, for instance, on the television side that they're working on a whole special about polka in Wisconsin that'll probably be announced within the next 6 months or a year. They're still in the midst of production. There are actually some stations around Wisconsin that play polka pretty regularly, so probably it turns out it's not within Nancy's hearing in Grafton. As for classical, many of our stations have a full-time classical channel on the HD radio, so you might look into purchasing an HD radio, but we don't imagine putting classical on the Ideas Network. It will stay on the NPR News and Classical Network. And so maybe something you'd find on the other WPR channel in some cases.
Here's another comment from our listener log. It has to do with the canvassing that Wisconsin Public Radio is participating in. That's going door to door. And this listener says, I have 4 children and a big dog. The last thing we need was a canvasser. This happened twice. I'd like to be taken off this door to door list. Nothing against the gentleman, but I'm against the process. Why? Remind us why WPR is canvassing, and what if people would rather not see somebody show up at their door?
They absolutely, they don't, of course, they don't have to answer the door, but they can also let the canvasser know or call us, let us know that they'd rather not be canvassed, and that's just fine. The story is that both public television and public radio are now doing canvassing in some places in Wisconsin, door-to-door fundraising, because it turns out it's very effective. It actually is more cost-effective for WPR to have these really wonderful young people going and knocking on doors than it is for us to send out a direct mail piece on a cost-per-dollar raised basis. And that's really helped us decide to give it a try when we learned that other stations are finding that out. So it'll be a part of our fundraising mix. We try to be sort of laser-perfect on it, meaning that if the canvasser walks past a home that contains a current member, they don't knock on the door. They just kind of hang a thank you note on the doorknob and move on to the next one. That helps them to be efficient so that they're not meeting with people who say, oh, I'm already a supporter. They may miss once in a while on that, but that's what they're trying to do. And yes, occasionally someone finds it a real problem, and we're sorry for that.
Denise and Poplar called in to ask, is Wisconsin Public Radio doing solicitations on the phone? She received a call from someone, and she was wondering if it was a scam.
That's a good question, and without knowing the exact circumstances, what I can say is we do telemarketing call-outs to lapsed members. And so if Denise was a one-time supporter, then it's a good chance it was a WPR call. And if you believe you've been scammed, please do contact us, because we'd want to make sure that we put a quash on that as well. But I would believe it's legitimate, especially if you were once a member.
Let's go to Dan in Richland Center now. Hi, Dan.
Good morning. I know we're about out of time. I was just wondering if it would be possible to get Star Talk Radio on the radio program at some point, the Neil deGrasse Tyson show. And I'll take any comments off the air. Thank you.
Is this a show for public radio stations, as far as you know, Mike?
It could very well be. It's not one that I've heard of. There's another one I had heard of called Star Date.
I've heard of that one back when I was in college.
Yeah, that one's around for a long time. It's something we'll look into. Neil deGrasse Tyson's a lot of fun. He's done a lot with Nova over the years and also with other television channels. You never know when he's going to pop up, because he's kind of the national pop celebrity concerning exploring the stars. So, Dan, we'll look into it, see what it's about. It depends on a bunch of factors. Is it actually being offered to public radio? What does it cost? Do we think it's of enough general interest once we've listened to it? Those sorts of things.
Yeah, I've had him, Neil deGrasse Tyson, on as a guest, and he would do very good on the radio.
I would
very
think
well
so.
Spoken.
And, you know, we are running into an interesting problem now, which I've got to say in general sounds like a great problem. Way too many things to choose from, that we really are in a golden age of audio because of podcasting. There's so many people doing more things in podcasts, and sometimes, like Invisibilia, they turn into radio shows as well. And so we will look into that. Thanks, Dan.
So we had some comments about chapter day in our listener log, in essence wondering how do we determine which books we're going to read?
Yeah, it's a delicate process, simply because a lot of publishers don't release the audio rights. They actually plan to have either the author or a professional reader do what they still call books on tape, although it's really books on CD or even downloads nowadays. And so we have to select from those that will give us the rights. And we have a sort of a bias toward Wisconsin authors, as you might expect. And we do our best to choose things we think will carry someone's interest from chapter to chapter to chapter, which is certainly not all books. That might interest people enough to pick up the book themselves.
Time always flies during Mondays with Mike. We have less than a minute to go. Mike, anything else you want to mention in that closing minute?
Sure. We were talking about new people, and I just wanted to celebrate the presence of our two most recent fellows. The Lee Esther Fellow, Avery Brooks, just got started, and she was telling me the other day that her first piece will be heard on the radio very soon. And our second century fellow, based in Milwaukee, Ross Terrell, is also on board. And speaking of fellows, Bridget Bowden is just about done her Mike Simonson Investigative News Fellow, and I'm thrilled to say that she was doing a tremendous job and earned a permanent spot on the WPR staff, replacing the retired Gilman Halstead.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So those fellowships are just a very important part of what we're doing, of bringing new young people into being trained in journalism here at WPR and with the Center for Investigative Journalism, and it's made possible because of philanthropy.
And let me, in the 2 seconds here, thank Kai Brito, one of the producers of this show, who was our summer intern and now is our fall intern. So we welcome Kai Brito back to the Joy Cardine Show. So
yes,
we're wonderful.
Excellent.
And thanks to Bill Martins, too. He's been around a long time, and he produced this show. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. This is the Ideas Network.